Amen. Thank you for your patience while people are praying. Keep this list handy. You might have one already at home you grabbed on Sunday. Put it somewhere you're going to see it to remind you. Make this week a special week of prayer. I know we've said a lot about it, but I don't think we can remind ourselves often enough to spend some time in prayer for loved ones and for this group that's over in Zambia and their families here. If you want to set aside a time for fasting, that would be a blessing. Amen. Maybe tomorrow or coming up the next couple days, they have that kind of a conference type thing going on right now. In the next couple days, it might be their busiest time of the trip, so might be a good time if you want to fast tomorrow or just skip a meal, or maybe you love coffee and you're going to give it up for the day. Spend some extra time in prayer. Ask God to bless that efforts in Zambia. And we're excited because we get to hear what happened. Amen. I didn't get to go. I love going on missions trips. I wish I could have got to go on this one. We went down to Mexico, kind of, and spent all our time and money down there. So I couldn't do this one. But praise the Lord, if you would never been on a missions trip, get ready for the next one. Amen. Because there's going to be a next one, Lord willing. And now is a good time to start saving up some money or just resolving that, hey, we're going to do it. Whichever one pastor says next, as we go to New Jersey, we're going to Syracuse or something. No, it'll be a good one. But man, missions trips are fantastic. They can change your life. Amen. God moves when you get out of your comfort zone and you get around his people doing his work. That's when your heart gets opened up, your eyes get opened up, and things change in your life. There's nothing quite like going around the world on a missions trip and serving the Lord in a different place. If you've never done it, I highly advise it. Go in your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians. I'm sorry, let's go to Titus. Titus chapter number 3. I am aware of the time. Just so you know, I'm aware of it. I don't know how much it means, but I am aware. Amen. No, I am spoiled. It is summer vacation. I feel like summer finally started for me, like the vacation part of it. We were at camp. We were at VBS. What else? Something else happened in there. And VBS prep week. What? Oh, senior trip for the school. That happened too. That was the first thing. And then we went to Mexico, and now we're back here, and now my house is like, hey, I got 2 weeks to get everything done. Then there's a canoe trip, and school starts. So I got this week and next week. So I don't necessarily have to get up crazy early, but I know a lot of you work, have to get up at whatever ungodly hour some of you have to get up in order to get to work on time. I am spoiled in what I get to do. Praise the Lord for that. But so I'm not going to keep you too long. We're going to read a verse here in Titus chapter number 3. I trust this will be a blessing to you. I was praying about it, thinking about it just about all week, jotting down some notes throughout the week and kind of put it together this afternoon. But verse number 14 of Titus chapter number 3, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. It says, and let ours. Who are the ours in that verse? In general, who could we reference them to? Yes, they are people. Praise the Lord. A church, I would say church people. Amen. They're ours. They're part of like the family, the body of Christ. Ours. Not too general. I know you were getting nervous. So we don't get too specific. But Paul is writing, remember, Paul is writing this letter to Titus. A pastor, you could say, someone he's trained, one of his children in the faith that he's bringing up in the faith. And as he writes to him, he puts this admonition at the end, and let ours, let's say church people, also learning. School is about to start in a couple weeks. Amen? Excited about that. Little ones are crazy excited. Yes, Alyssa. Awesome times. Yes. She's going to start having nightmares. No, the school's a good thing. Learning is a good thing. Now, I would not like to go back to school, but I love to learn new things, amen? But this is something you have to learn. He says, let ours, the church, God's people, learn. That means it's something you don't already know. Sometimes kids get discouraged in school when they get something wrong, and they think, well, that's part of it, because you have to learn it. It's something new. It's new to them. What we're going to learn here, what the church had to learn then, what Titus was instructed to teach 2,000 years ago almost,
is something that we still need to learn today. And you don't learn it by accident. I wish you could just fall asleep on the textbook and it all just gets sucked right into your brain. But that's not the way it works. We have to learn to do what? To maintain good works. To maintain good works. The lesson they were supposed to learn is to maintain good works. Now, good works is kind of a general term. You could use that to define a lot of things. Something that is good to do. And I think God wanted it to be a very general term. He didn't tell them something very specific to do. Let them learn to maintain prayer. No, he says good works. That there is a lot. You know what that tells me? That there's a lot that needs to be done. Amen. And that all of us can fit into the verse. Because if he said to Titus, let us learn to maintain preaching. Oh, well, that's just for those preachers. To maintain parenting. Oh, that's, I don't have kids. No, to maintain good works for necessary uses. These good works are things that are needed. Something that is necessary. My mind always goes to food when I think of illustrations. Man, I don't know what it is. It's just delicious, all right? Now, there's the food that you need, and there's the food that you might want. I have eaten. I've been trying to eat a little healthier. My doctor said I had to, and so my wife said I had to. We're trying. It's working out a little bit. It's horrible. But I can eat a salad. I like a good salad. Yeah, put some Snickers on top. No Snickers. You can eat those things. That's necessary. But you know what happens at the end of a healthy meal a lot of times? I'm full, but I'm not satisfied because there was no Snickers. And you need that, like, I just want a couple bites of something sweet or something greasy or something, you know, at the end of the meal to really just, because I'm addicted to junk food. That's probably what it is. But there's what's necessary. This is necessary. This isn't, you know, it would be really nice if somebody could in their free time maybe think about doing this. Well, he said, these are good works that you need to learn how to do, and they are necessary, and they also have a result, that they be not unfruitful. If you choose not to participate in this, what's going to happen to your Christian life? What will happen to your Christian life? It'll be unfruitful. And I don't think there's an honest Christian here who wants to ever stand before God and have no fruit to show. Who wants to finish a year of their life and say, well, that was a waste, spiritually speaking. Where's the fruit? He says, hey, if you don't learn this lesson, your life is going to become unfruitful. Learn it. Pay attention. I got something to teach you. You need to maintain good works for what? For necessary uses. Now, that's a whole other thought. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God guide you and teach you for what your good works are. What is it that you're supposed to be working on? What is necessary in your ministry for the Lord? But I want us to see tonight that it is necessary. It is something we have to learn. I did a job for a little while. I did a couple summers sealing driveways. Well, that was a blast. And then at the end of one of those, I had a month and a half, almost 2 months, where I needed some more work. So I got a job through a friend doing roofing. Can you picture me on a roof, Brother Rice? No, it was not my favorite job. I'm not scared of heights, all right? I don't mind heights. I love roller coasters. We just did the zip line in Mexico. That's a blast. I don't like if this was 3 stories tall and I got nothing to hang on to. This is okay. This, my brain goes, and I'm going to die. It's just what's going to happen. I'll just fall off for no reason. You'd be watching me from a distance, and you'll be like, he jumped. And I swear I didn't jump. It's just my brain forced me to fall over. I got to hang on to something. So when I was roofing, I wasn't a roofer. I was a laborer. because I didn't have the skills to be a roofer. I was just there for some grunt work. We got to the job, we'd get up on the roof, we'd get the ladders, we'd start tearing off. All right, I had to get on the tear off, get those big crowbar things, start ripping off the roof. All right, our roofer just left, so he can't judge my attributes here. And then after we got the whole roof torn off, there's piles of shingles all over the grass. So then my job is to get all the shingles into the dumpster. That's the next. Fill, scooping wheelbarrows full, ramming them up like a 2x6 on a ramp up into the back of the dumpster, and start dumping them and dumping them and dumping them without trying to step on too many nails. But at any time, if one of the roofers needed something, it was our job to stop what we were doing as laborers. It was like three of us at each job, and help the roofers. That included carrying shingles up the ladders. There's something about, this is what I didn't like, two things about roofing. Something about that step. When you got, I forget how heavy a bundle of shingles were. They weren't light. It's one of those things I'd carry, and the opposite side of my face and neck would get really tight because trying to get it. Anyone ever had that? It's just maybe my brain's broken, and it's not supposed to do that. But that step from the ladder to the roof. And in my mind, I pictured two things happening. Either the ladder was going to go flying backwards, or the weight I put on that foot on the roof is just going to, whoosh, and there I go, right? That's what's going to happen. The other thing I hated was then coming back down, and all you see is the lip of the roof and a ladder top, and you're walking towards nothing, and you know there's a big drop on the other side, and my mind just sees me slipping, sliding on the roof. I didn't like roofing, brother. I did it just for a little while. I was telling a story, But when the roofers needed something, it was our job to stop and get it to them. Now, I had my own job of tearing off, cleaning up, finding all the nails, dumping all the stuff in the dumpster. We would run. But when the roofers needed something, what I needed to do stopped, and what they needed came first. And, you know, that was different, because then the boss would say, "Why isn't the cleanup done?" He'd come by, you know, the boss wouldn't always stay on the job, come by a little bit, check on the job, leave, go check on another job, and why, you guys have been here 6 hours, there's still shingles all over the ground. Well, the roofers have been, he didn't care. But you know what I had to learn to do is trying to find that balance between what I needed to get done and what the roofers needed. And then after the roofers didn't need anything, cleanup was done, we couldn't sit around. There was always tiny pieces of tar and shingles in the grass, and there's always more nails to find laying around the yard. Customer never wants to come outside and find that stuff in their grass. So we kept busy. Keep working. Now, as Christians, God has given us some big picture things to take care of. And each of us have our own personal responsibilities. You have a house, probably. You might have kids. You've got a job. You've got responsibilities that need to be taken care of. But in all that, don't forget that when the master calls, when God calls and says, "Hey, I need something, here's an opportunity to do some good works for necessary uses." Amen. So often our excuse is, "Ooh, I'm so busy. I'm too tired. I can't handle that. Let's not get too caught up in our own needs. Because good works are directed at others. And far too often, as Christians, our mind gets focused on our lives, our needs, our family, our responsibilities. And we forget the big picture here. The big picture on the job was for the roof to get done. We can clean up later. We got to get the roof covered. God has given us some big picture things to take care of. And we are so distracted looking around in the grass for every tiny little piece of shingle that might have fallen and every nail that might be left. And you could be there for weeks picking up every little piece. When God says, "Hey, stop looking down. This is what we're supposed to be working on here." Now, like I said, I'm going to let God tell you what you're supposed to be working on. But every Christian is supposed to maintain good works. A church cannot function without the support system that's underneath. You know, Paul wrote a lot of these letters, and there's only one Paul. But do you know how many people were underneath him that were busy doing good works? Now, I don't want you to think that, like, the job of a church is just to support their pastor, because the job of a church is to honor and glorify God. Amen. Right? That's the job of every Christian. Now, God will sometimes point you to a good work that does support and lift up a pastor or a fellow brother, sister in Christ, or lead a ministry, but don't think as a Christian, hey, I've got to do, like, I'm not a good Christian if I'm not teaching Sunday school. I'm not a good Christian if I didn't write a letter to my pastor this week to tell him how much I love him and support him. No, your job is to stand before God and do the things that God has told you to do. And a pastor's job is to try to help equip you to do those things. But God might steer you in a direction that is a support and a help to the pastor. I don't want to preach this tonight and have you think, man, I just got to do more for the pastor. I just got to do more for the church building. I just got to do more. No, there's plenty to be done outside the doors of the church. Good works that are necessary for Christians to do as a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at just a few people. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 4. A few names of those. Paul uses a phrase that I love. I used it in our prayer letters. When I was reading all these, a lot of the closings to books, some of the introductions, reading through the book of Acts for this message, I see it over and over again where Paul uses fellow laborer, fellow minister, fellow servant, fellow soldier. And Paul, although he was an apostle, although he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a miraculous salvation testimony, he looked at his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ all around him, all over the world on his missionary journeys, and he says, you're my fellow laborers, because we all serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And that is who our true master is. That's who we're serving. That's who we're working for. And it's our job to honor and glorify the Lord. A couple of those people tonight that he mentioned, just to be an encouragement to you, you might say, I'm not Paul. Well, I'm not Paul either. I'm not the pastor. Well, you don't have to be called the pastor. I don't teach Sunday morning Sunday school in here and stand up in front of everyone. Don't worry about those things if God didn't call you to those things. But God did call you to serve him. And you might not be the Paul or the Timothy or the Titus or some of those names that we're a little more familiar with, Philemon, Apollos, Tychicus, some of these names you might have heard before. But there were tons and tons of other people who were faithful to the Lord, who were working right alongside Paul, who were in those churches supporting it, who were out in their communities preaching Jesus Christ. And they're all fellow laborers. My son just asked me the other day, who's your favorite missionary? And I kind of half-joking just said, it's Pastor Brian, because we just saw him in Mexico. He's like, no, I mean, like, and you're like, you think Hudson Taylor and David Livingston. And like, you know what? You might not be called to do that. But if you were faithful and you're serving the Lord, you're fellow laborers with those people side by side in God's work. One of those people here in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12, Epaphras. Now, don't judge my pronunciation. I am going to read a ton of names, and I don't know how to say them all right. All right? So you can follow along, all right? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Here we're introduced to a man, Epaphras, and he has a testimony that he labors fervently in prayers, that he loves the people of God, that he is a servant of Christ, and something about his prayers that really stand out. But he has a heart for God's people. He wants them to stand perfect. You can see his desire isn't about himself. His desire is to see God's people thrive. He's praying and he's serving and he's striving, not for his own wealth, not for his own admonition, but because he wants to see you fulfill everything God has for your life. What a blessing to read about people like that. Go with me over to Colossians chapter number 1. We see him mentioned again here. Colossians chapter, we're going to go through a couple of these people quickly. Colossians 1, verse number 7. And ye also, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for who? For who? For you, a faithful minister of Christ. His life was dedicated to the people of God. He was busy not about his own stuff. He wanted to see other people walk with God, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I believe that there was something about Epaphras and his fervent prayer. If we go to chapter 4 again, look at verse number 13. I kind of skipped out this part. For I bear him record, speaking of Epaphras, that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. This man was filled with zeal for the people of God, and his prayers are mentioned. How much he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed for God's people. And Paul says, when we heard of it, when we heard of his testimony and how much he's talking about you, what was Paul's response? He says, for this cause, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. They saw the fervor that Epaphras had for God's people and how much zeal and how much prayer he was putting into them. And when they, it says, for this cause, like because of that, Paul says, now I'm not ceasing to pray for you too. You see, Paul's ministry was filled with prayer and a love for God's people. Part of that came from the testimony of Epaphras. How many of you heard of him before tonight? Some of you might have heard of him, you may not remember his name. But his zeal for the Lord affected Paul's zeal for the Lord. His love for the people filled the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. He's not Paul, but he's faithfully serving the Lord. Philemon, chapter number 1. Philemon, chapter number 1. I love reading about these people. I love the big stories. I love David, Elijah, Abraham, Paul. But there are just, God put these names in the Bible for a reason. And I believe they're here to encourage us that the work of God is not dependent on a few big names and a few mega churches or a few great evangelists who really get our fire going. Our dedication, our strength comes from the Lord, and it's in day-to-day life of doing good works and necessary things for others. A life of service, a life of good works. And you understand what I mean, good works. We're talking spiritually motivated things to please the Lord. Amen. Philippians. I said Philemon. That's where I want to be. Hold on. Let me get there. I'm trying a new way of writing the books of the Bible with only two letters. It's not working. I've already messed it up. I know the books of the Bible, I swear. Philemon, Hebrews. There we go. Chapter 1, verse number 23. There salute thee, Epaphras. Now, what's his title here? Oh, things change a little bit. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. But that's a man who loved God and served God and loved God's people and was committed to praying for them, committed to teaching the word of God to them, in as much as it led him to be a fellow prisoner with Paul. Now, it seems in history that he was released from that. He got to go back. But that is dedication, and he influenced others. Some of those other names that we know better to keep serving the God. Turn to 2 Timothy. We're real close. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The next person, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 16, introduces us to Onesiphorus. Now, we know Timothy, but might forget this guy's in here too. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul's talking about his bondage. He's a prisoner. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here we saw Epaphras, someone who's known for his fervent prayer and his zeal. This phrase is used for more than one person, but we see here in verse number 16, for he oft refreshed me. And Onesiphorus was the one who refreshed. It was a blessing to be in his presence. He was someone who was just an encouragement. He's not Paul, but he refreshed Paul. He encouraged Paul. He strengthened Paul. And he pleased his Savior in doing it. Insomuch that he has a testimony already. Verse number 18 tells about his testimony in Ephesus. And Paul says, you already know his testimony of how many things he did for me in Ephesus. And then when I was a prisoner in Rome, he came to Rome. He diligently found me. And historians believe that this is a very dangerous time to be in Rome. This is when the persecution of the church was just starting. We read other places in Scripture before this that all the Jews are already kicked out of Rome, that they're not supposed to be there. The Jews already had persecution. This is right at the towards the end of Paul's ministry when he's in jail to be executed. He's writing this about him having been there to visit him while he was in jail. You see how his name means to bring profit. It's profitable. Paul says that about someone else too. He's profitable for the ministry. This was someone, man, when he came by, you would leave after having spent some time with him, just, I'm ready. I feel good. Let's go serve the Lord. That was a blessing. What a joy divine to spend some time with this brother and sister in the Lord. You may say, I'm not the pastor. I don't teach Sunday school. But hey, can you refresh people? Can you be a refreshing spirit? When people spend some time with you, it's not, oh, did you see? Oh, gas. Man, it's just not dropping. Do you see the price of milk? Oh, my car is just, my job, my wife, no, don't say that. My, now I understand, as a pastor, I feel free to share those things with me. I mean, it is part of our job as pastors and as Christians to bear one another's burdens. But there's another side to that. Do you ever refresh people? Amen. Do you ever lift them up? One of my favorite things about the men's canoe trip, I've mentioned this before, is getting there. That's always nice. And we made it. But when we first get to go to the spring that's there, and man, you get a drink of that water that's just coming out from the ground on the top of a mountain, and it's cold and it's delicious. And you're like, that's refreshing. And I want to be that to people. I want God to be able to use me. That's a good work. Say, I don't know what to do to serve the Lord. Refresh people. Be a blessing. Be an encouragement. Lift them up. Seek them out. He went all the way to Rome to find Paul to lift him up. To his own peril. Is it too much to lift up the phone and call somebody to encourage him? Are we asking too much to send a text message? To spend 5 minutes after church, a little extra time with someone to encourage them, to lift them up? And Onesiphorus traveled to Rome to encourage Paul. Acts chapter 18. These next ones are even shorter. Acts chapter number 18. Acts 18, look at verse number 3. We're introduced to a couple here. You've probably heard of these two before. Acts 18, verse number 3, Aquila and Priscilla. And found a certain Jew, this is Paul, came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Now we get a little information about them, that they, Christians, they're in Corinth, they are tent makers, and they took Paul in, and Paul worked with them, he says, and wrought. That's the idea that Paul worked alongside them and was making tents as well. But we see that their Christianity, although that's a blessed thing that they hosted him, they let him work with them to earn some money. But go with me to verse 26. These weren't just, you know, Christians that were hanging about. These were people that knew the doctrine of the Bible. Now, they're talking here about another man, Apollos, who was a speaker. He was an eloquent man. It says a little description of him in verse 25. This man, that's talking about Apollos, was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But here's the challenge, this is the problem, knowing only the baptism of John. He was missing out on the fullness of salvation in Jesus Christ. He was sharing the gospel of John still, John the Baptist, which had already served its purpose. Jesus had already died and was risen. The gospel of John doesn't have power anymore. Now you need Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation that we all know about. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, first off, they're in church. Amen. What's some good work I can do to please God? Show up at church. Amen. Now you're here on Wednesday. That's usually when there's the least amount of people, but stay faithful to the house of God. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. These are two people, a husband and wife, who knew the Bible. They knew the doctrines. They could instruct others. How many of us feel confident enough in our Bible doctrines? Say, ooh, that's, brother, that's a, you're teetering on the edge of heresy a little bit over there. Let me, not publicly. It seems like they just pulled them aside. I don't think they ran a Bible Institute. This is just a husband and wife in the church who heard a man preaching and saw that God, he had a godly spirit, that God was on him. He was a fervent speaker. And a good thing about Apollos is he could be corrected. And he pulled him aside and said, hey, you're missing something big here. Let us show you the way of God more perfectly through Jesus Christ. That was part of their ministry. They hosted Paul. They worked alongside him. They were faithful to church, and they could teach the Bible. How many of you can teach the Bible tonight? I don't know what I can do. You can study the Bible and be ready to teach it. It's not enough just to have a Bible. Christians, we need to understand the Bible. Understand it so that we can teach and help others. And it goes on. It grows from there. Another verse of Scripture tells us that they were willing, that they laid down their own necks for Paul. They put their lives on the line for the work of God. Last person for tonight, Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. Now, this chapter is filled with people. And I wrote down most of their names. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about each one. Because the Bible doesn't tell us much about each of them. But it does make a point of putting them in there. But verse number 1 tells us about a lady. Just about Aquila and Priscilla as well. That the wife knew the word of God too. It wasn't just the husband. They both went and taught him. Ladies, don't feel like, hey, you know, that teaching thing, that's just, understand, that's just for the pastor, that's just for the men. No, if you're a Christian, you need to know the Bible as well. There's going to be people and opportunities for you to teach the Word of God to others. You need to be equipped as well, just like she was. And here's another lady. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. And here we see Priscilla and Aquila again, and that's where it says in verse number 4 that they had given their own necks for Paul and for the ministry. But we're introduced here to Phoebe. A few things that stand out about her. First off, that Paul would trust her with the letter that is getting delivered to Rome. That she's the one who delivered the book of Romans to the church at Rome. So she's trustworthy. She's faithful. That it says here that she was the succor, I think I'm saying that right, of many. and of myself also. I had to look up that word, and it says it means to give help in times of need or distress. She is someone that would step up when something needed to be done. You're hurting? She's there. We need people who aren't looking to stay away from the injured and the broken and those that are a little beat up. We need Christians like Phoebe who will say, there's someone that's hurt, there's someone that needs help, there's someone in distress, there's somebody I can be a blessing to. I'm going over to them. And I'm going to give. You know what? Partly why we don't like investing in broken people is because they don't give anything back most of the time. But they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians, they get just as messed up and broken as lost people can get. And they need the love of God in their life. Say, so I'm not the pastor, I'm not Paul, I'm not Timothy, I'm not Titus. But can you be Phoebe? Can you help people that are in distress? Can you come up beside them? You know what else stands out about this verse as we just get into general people here? As Paul is telling the church to care for her and whatever she has needs of. So now we have a whole church full of people who are then helpers in themselves. We don't know their names. Now, it's probably some of these people that are maybe listed here, but man, that's just a good testimony. Hey, Phoebe's coming. She's got this letter. You're about to read this, what he wrote here. She's going to need some of your help. Help her. Who? The church. You. The people that are there. When there's a need, church, God's people step up and they fill the need. Because we know we need to maintain good works. There are some people, I'm just going to read out a couple. Tryphena and Tryphosa. It said they labored in the Lord. Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Asyncritus, Phlegon, I'm glad that's not my name, Hermes, Petrobus, Rufus. Rufus is called the chosen in the Lord. Epaphroditus is the well-beloved. Mary, Paul says that she bestowed much labor on us. I don't know what she did, but she bestowed much labor in the ministry. Andronicus and Junia are called my kinsmen and fellow prisoners again. Amplus, my beloved in the Lord. Herodian, my kinsman, he's called. Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister. Olympus, Lucius, Jason, Susipater, Tertius, who wrote the book. Little desk work. Where's our treasurer? Hey, that's serving the Lord, amen? Just, hey, there's paperwork needs to be done. Ms. Buck helps us with school paperwork and church. I mean, that is a ministry in serving the Lord. Gaius, who hosted Paul. Carpus. Now, this is an interesting one. I was reading this. It's in a different book. But he says, the cloak I left with Carpus. I'm like, well, why did Carpus have Paul's cloak? Probably because he let him stay in his house. That's my guess. Or Carpus really needed a cloak, and Paul said, here, I'll lend you mine for a while, but get it back to me. But I'm thinking he probably hosted him and let him stay with him. Fortunatus and Stephanus and Achaicus, these three are accredited with kind of filling lacking funds. Paul says, this church, you didn't minister to me, but these guys stepped up, and they did the extra. You know what? There's people, your ministry is financial. So that's not me, brother, I know. But, man, there's just people who need to be able to write checks and give and sell what they have to support the work of the Lord. Because there's times where there is lack. And Paul says, hey, these guys, when we were lacking, they stepped up and they filled that need. Zenas, the lawyer. We all hate lawyers, but Paul needed a lawyer. Amen? That is a ministry. Use your job for the Lord. Apollos, Clement, Sosthenes, Chloe, Crispus, Gaius, Aphroditus, Eutychus, Synecdoche, I don't know how to say it, Crescens, we talked about Clarpus, Lois, and Eunice. You know what they did? They just raised a good godly young man. They raised Timothy, his grandmother and mother. Silvanus, Nymphus, Marcus, Aristarchus, he's a fellow prisoner. Demas, Lucas, Philemon, Justus, Apatheia, Archippus, he's told that he fulfilled the ministry. Onesimus, a Philemon, one who had a church in his house. There's a number in here who had churches in their homes. Trophimus, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia, Philip the evangelist, Sopater, Gundus. I can't even read half these names. I wrote them so messy. I'm going to blame it on my handwriting. But you know what the Bible is filled with? Fellow laborers in the Lord. So nobody knows who I am. I don't have a big job. You don't need one. If we're doing what Scripture tells us in Titus 3:14, and let ours learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You know who all these people we named were? We don't know about their fruit, but they were fruitful people who worked hard, who gave, who did good works. And it uses a word there, I didn't talk about it too much, it says to maintain. Maintain good works. I have a lawnmower, and I beat it up some, drive around, I mow back into the field where the grass should be like a brush hog, but if you push the lawnmower hard enough, it'll still cut it. And it's croaking and groaning, and then, you know what, it stopped working. I can't imagine why. And I take it to the guy, and he's like, well, your air filter's clogged. You haven't changed the oil. There's grass buildup in here. There's this. Did you check the tires at all this year? No. Did you? And you know what I didn't do? I didn't maintain it. It was working, so I kept using it until it's broken. You know what maintains your Christianity? Some good works. Because we get our eyes off ourselves. We get our eyes off this world, and we focus on others, and we focus on glorifying God. Because these good works, if you do them in your own name, for your own glory, they have as much value as dirt. You want to do them in God's name, and for God's glory. And that's what makes us fellow laborers in the Lord, fellow servants, hopefully never fellow prisoners. But could you be like those who were fervent in prayer, those who hosted and sacrificed, those who were succorers of many, those who refreshed, those who taught the Word of God? Those are ministries, those are good works, and we got to do it, church. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for your attention tonight. I know I went a little longer than is normal on a Wednesday. There's a lot to be done. I don't want to put him on the spot, but Brother Sean just came out and helped me today. We beat up his truck a little bit, yanking out bushes. What was that? Nothing glorious. No one's going to sing praises to our names for ripping out bushes. In fact, people come to me and say, did you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I got help. Well, thank you. But the other people don't get thank yous. But you know who saw that? God saw that. And if I get a reward here by a thank you, I think I'd rather have the reward that God's got planned on the other side. And I know there's so many of you who are faithful in serving the Lord. And I want to say thank you. And Pastor says it all the time. There's so much that goes on, and so much of the church is busy and helpful and willing and giving. But don't get comfortable. Don't start running it. It's working, so I'm not going to... No. Let's do a little maintenance. Make sure we're not getting comfortable. We're not focusing on ourselves. We're not working for our own glory. We're not letting things fall to the wayside in God's name while we spend so much time focusing on the things we got to do. Let's work for the Lord. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you so much for the opportunity I have to be in your ministry. Father, I'm thankful for these fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord that I get to serve alongside. Father, I'm thankful that you give us a purpose. But Father, at the same time, I know my flesh. I know I get selfish and distracted and busy and lazy. And there is people who need help. There's people who need prayer, who need someone to love them and come up beside them and strengthen them. And Father, I pray that you would open my heart in my eyes,
Lord, and I trust this is the prayer of everyone in the building here tonight, that your Spirit tonight would just lovingly poke our heart a little bit. Show us, Lord, what's some good works? What's our ministry? Who can we serve alongside? What needs to be done for your honor and glory? Once again, we ask you your blessing on those people over in Africa, our friends. We pray for those who are here, home. Lord, watch over them, care for their needs. Lord, we all need you. Lord, I pray that we would find hearts of thankfulness and hearts of purpose in your service. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. I hope to see you on Sunday morning. Amen. Abraham.